are listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, November the 12th, in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, host of the program here on Worldwide KFUO Radio as we celebrate 90 years of broadcasting the good message of the gospel. I was going to say law and gospel, but the law isn't the good message, is it? No. As indicated in the promo, I was going to ask a question that I believe a lot of people get wrong. And if you're listening right now and would like to try and answer the question, just go ahead and do so. The first question I would want to ask is, what are the two parts of the Bible? If you know the answer to that, the number is in St. Louis, 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. When people are thinking about God's Word, the Holy Bible, what do they consider to be the two parts of the Bible? And then we're going to go into it in some degree. In fact, I'm not really sure we're even going to get this done today. We'll probably continue it a little bit with Pastor Reimnitz tomorrow on Law and Gospel, and then maybe even more. But we're going to be providing you with a free item that you'll be able to get. It's, I'll explain it as we go along. But to get it, you'd want to write down our email address, which is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And you just ask for the free item that was mentioned on Wednesday, November the 12th. Okay, well, what do you think people are going to say when you ask the question, what are the two parts of the Bible? I almost guarantee you that people are going to say, well, you have the Old Testament and you have the New Testament. Then comes the big question. What is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Now, anytime you want to hear false theology or read about it, simply go to the computer. And you go to Google or any other search engine, and you write in the concepts you're thinking about. I'm not kidding. I can't remember the last time I wrote something in Google asking about something, and it didn't come up. It is amazing how much information is there. For example, I just bought a new Philips machine. It's a cooking apparatus. And I went to Google and YouTube and put in Philips, the machine, and asked for recipes. And there were about 100 recipes. I mean, this thing is just really amazing. But be that as it may, if you go to Google and say something like, what is the difference between the Old and New Testaments? I'm looking right now on the computer, and here's what they say. The Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew, a few short passages in Aramaic. And the New Testament was written in Greek. So, what are they talking about? They're talking about the books of the Bible. Now, let me share with you something. I can't find one instance in the Bible where the phrase Old Testament or New Testament ever refers to the books of the Bible. It's become a pretty easy way of thinking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Like we'll say, how many books are in the Old Testament, how many books are in the New Testament? And I've said this before, but in case you're a first-time listener, if you want to know how many books are in the Old Testament, just add up the letters in Old and Testament, which is 3 and 9, put them together, and you got 39. That's correct. And the same with the New Testament. You add up New, you add up Testament, but this time you multiply. 3 times 9 equals 27. So there's 39 books in the Old Testament books, and there's 27 in the New Testament books. The problem is, as I said, the Bible never uses those terms, Old Testament and New Testament, as books of the Bible. Instead, another word for the word testament in the English, from both the Greek and the Hebrew, is the word covenant. So I kind of like to think of the Old Covenant and the new covenant. That is how the Bible uses those terms. Well, what are we talking about? Well, one of the main problems with many people, a myth of Lutheranism in regard to law and gospel, is that if you ask most people, where is the law and where is the gospel? They'll say this, well, the law is found in the Old Testament and the gospel is found in the New Testament. In fact, I'm reading right from the internet right now. As I ask the question, what is the difference between the Old and New Testaments? The Old Testament is a covenant God made with the people about their salvation before Christ came. The New Testament is the agreement God made with the people about their salvation after Christ came. The Old Testament is the account of a nation, the Jewish nation. That's wrong too, by the way. About Israel, maybe. The New Testament is the account of a man, the Son of Man. Wow. So, when they're talking about the Old Testament, they're referring to the books, the 39. And they think that is the covenant God made with the people about their salvation before Christ came. And the New Testament is the agreement God made with his people about their salvation after Christ came. Well, here's where the problem is. If we talk about the distinction between law and gospel, we will find out that the law is preached in the Old Testament, but so is the gospel. And in the New Testament, are you telling me there is no law? Read the Sermon on the Mount. But so is the gospel. Look at the cross of Christ. So if we're talking about the two covenants, you cannot equate Old Covenant with the Old Testament books and New Covenant with the New Testament books. No. The Old Covenant is found in the Old Testament books. And it is abrogated, removed, expelled after Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. Would you like to know the two main passages in the Old Testament? The one shows the gospel message, and the other one shows, well, what we consider the covenant of the law. The new covenant is found in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, Adam and Eve sinned. The Lord God says to the serpent, and that's the Satan, verse 14, because you've done this, namely, tempted Eve and Adam, and they fell into sin, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. But listen to verse 15. And I will put enmity between you, that's Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, that's singular. As you can see from the very next statement, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. You know what Genesis 3:15 is? It's a promise of the coming Messiah. It's a promise of how Adam and Eve are going to be saved. And every Old Testament person who believed that promise were saved. Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? That through his 90-year-old Sarah would come a child who would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. His name was Isaac. Isaac was not the Messiah, but through his seed would come the singular offspring, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, the salvation of the world occurs. I mean, how many passages do you want me to show you where the gospel, the new covenant, is found in the Old Testament books? Read Psalm 22. He was pierced in hands and feet. That's the crucifixion. Isaiah 53. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The new covenant is found throughout the Old Testament books as pointing forward to the Christ who will come to take away the sins of the world. Now, what's the Old Covenant then? The Old Covenant is primarily found in Exodus 24. And I'll make a point about that as we go through it. This is when Moses is at Mount Sinai, and he tells the people all the rules that the Lord has made. And in verse 3 of Exodus 24, all the words that the Lord has spoken, the people say, we will do. So then, they sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. Moses takes half the blood, puts it in basins, half the blood he throws against the altar. Then he takes the book of the covenant, that's actually the word, and reads it in the hearing of the people, which has all these commandments, all these ceremonial laws. And guess what the people say? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. Well, how long did that last? Till the golden calf. This is the primary distinction between the old covenant or the old agreement between God and his people and the new covenant that God himself alone makes. That's the first distinction. The old covenant was kind of an agreement on the part of the people also. They made promises, but they couldn't keep them. Whereas the new covenant, the only promises made are those of God and fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So if you take a look at that old covenant, it uses the word covenant. It talks about blood. Both covenants are blood covenants. So where is the inauguration, or where we can really see the new covenant put into place? It's found in 1 Corinthians 11. Listen to verse 25 as Jesus distributes his body and blood in what we call the Lord's Supper. He says, this is my body, which is for you. And then listen to verse 25. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, this is where we get the old covenant from Exodus 24 and the new covenant from 1 Corinthians 11. That 1 Corinthians 11 is a fulfillment of all the promises of the new covenant found in the Old Testament books. So, if you really want to have a distinction between the old and the new covenant, take a look at those two passages, Exodus 24, 1 Corinthians 11. I've got 10 items. Now, by the way, if you want to ask about any of this, don't hesitate to do so. You can phone me at 821-0850. That's in the St. Louis area. Or toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, by the way, I have a Bible study at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. And right now we're kind of going over these items between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But comparing the two of them, here's what we would say. Both of them are initiated by God's grace. Moses and the people could not come up on Mount Sinai until they made the sacrifice of the various animals, which made their body clean enough to come into the presence of God. And that was by God's grace. Both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the content is from God. Now, the Old Covenant are promises made by God and the people. But it, of course, failed because people didn't keep their promises. The content of the Old Covenant is primarily law. These things we will do and obey. Whereas in the New Covenant, now this is really important, the content is not law that you have to obey. The content instead is God's promise that you believe. This is what the whole Reformation was about. We're not saved by works. We're saved through faith, trusting in the promises of the gospel. Now, under the old covenant, and this would be a contractual relationship. Like if you go to a bank and you borrow money to buy a house, guess what? Your response is necessary. You have to sign the papers that you're going to give the money back. Under the new covenant, no response is necessary. What? Well, how do I become a child of God? By adoption. And you tell me, what does an infant baby, how do they have to respond in order to get adopted? It is a gift. Under the old covenant, that agreement, people have to ratify it. They ratify it by being obedient. But the new covenant is not ratified by us. It's ratified by God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He ratifies, he fulfills the promises of the new covenant by taking upon himself the punishment for our sin, dying upon the cross, being forsaken by the Father, so those who trust in Jesus will never be forsaken by the Father. So under the old covenant, what is the response that is necessary on the part of the people? Obedience. What is the response that is necessary on part of the people in the new covenant? Faith. It's a totally different understanding. Now, the old covenant is broken by people. The new covenant is eternal. God never breaks his promises. Now, there are those who don't believe the promises, and therefore they reject the new covenant. But for those who trust in the promises alone, that covenant is eternal. So that when, as we've been celebrating a number of our readings coming up and this week, Judgment Day is around the corner, we just continue in our eternal life that began at our baptism or when we came to faith. Now, how is the old covenant broken? It's broken through disobedience. Think of an employer-employee relationship. You get hired, you show up late for work, take long lunches, leave early, and you don't get your work done. Guess what? You were disobedient according to the agreement you made with the boss to do the work. You're going to get fired. In contrast to that is the new covenant. How is it lost? It's lost or never received through unbelief. All one does is trust the promises of the gospel. And by the way, that trust, that faith, is a gift from the Holy Spirit, so you can't even take credit for it. Under the old covenant, how do people regard God? Think of every other religion in the world. Every other religion in the world is an old covenant religion. You better do this or that and this and that. Because God is coming back as a what? As a righteous judge who will give you what you deserve. In other words, if you haven't measured up to his demands, hell is your place. Now, under the new covenant, Jesus does return as judge, but his judgment is not based on your works. His judgment is based, do you have fruit of the Holy Spirit that came from being a believer in Jesus Christ? And if you have that fruit of the Holy Spirit, that becomes the evidence that you already believe, and therefore you are saved. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to stay under the old covenant, well, you have the freedom to do so, but the result will be one of bondage. Bondage to Satan. And he will make you feel really bad about the chances of your salvation. Because as soon as he gets you to think that your works become part of the cause of why you are saved, you will never be sure of salvation. The only people who are sure that they are saved by their works have minimized the law, like the Pharisees. Remember that sermon Jesus did on the Mount? He said, "You have heard it said of old, thou shalt not kill." And of course, the unbelieving Pharisees said, "Well, we haven't murdered anybody by action." But Jesus says, "No, no, no, no. Even a bad thought, even a bad word, that results in eternal condemnation." But they didn't believe Jesus. No, they said, "We're good. We're following the ceremonial laws. We're saved." But Jesus made the clear point. No, you're in bondage to Satan. So when Satan bothers you with your works as the cause of your salvation, there's two results. You either minimize what you have to do and you pretend you're good enough to get to heaven. And when you pretend you're good enough to get to heaven, boy, that's something. On the other hand, you can also think you're not good enough to get to heaven, and therefore you're in terror of God with no hope of salvation. See, that's the proper preaching of the law. We don't want people to think that they can be saved. What? No, by their works. We want the preaching of the law to bring fear of God so that they come to the point where they say, "It's impossible for me to save myself. What can I do?" The words of the people at Pentecost, when Peter said, "You've killed the Messiah," what did they say? "Oh no, what are we to do?" And guess what he tells them? He tells them something they don't do, but something to be done to them. Be baptized. That's a passive. That's not something you do. Baptism isn't an act of good work that you're doing to get you saved. It's an act that God does upon you. And what does Peter say? "And you will receive two gifts, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the remission of sins." And by the way, the promise is also for your children and for those who are afar off. So don't tell me infant baptism isn't taught in the Bible. It's right there in Pentecost. And those who are far off, that's a technical way of speaking of Gentiles. Salvation is totally the work of God. Now, what I'm doing at Emmanuel Lutheran, and you can attend, by the way, 9733 Olive, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. But if for some reason you're unable to attend, maybe you're working or whatever, and you would like to have the sheets that I handed out on the two covenants, then don't hesitate to email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And simply say, "Please email me the paper on the two covenants." What I have is, first of all, the main passages that we've already looked at from Exodus 24, Genesis 3, and 1 Corinthians 11. Then I have 10 comparisons that we just went through. Now, what we haven't gone through is the book of Hebrews clearly distinguishes 12 differences. That's something. And then when that is done, I've got 12 more differences from other parts of the Bible between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And the whole goal is to give you an insight that the two main parts of the Bible are not Old Testament and New Testament books. The two main parts of the Bible are law and gospel. Both are taught in the scripture. But the purpose of preaching and teaching the law is to make people afraid that they cannot save themselves, in fear of a God of justice who will give them what they deserve. That's the reason that we're doing this preaching of the law. So that when they look, as the people of Pentecost did, for, well, how can we be saved? Guess what? The gospel comes through. God saves you. He's the only one who does it. And by the way, he does all of it. There's no contribution you need to make to your salvation. If there is a contribution you need to make, then you don't understand adoption of an infant. What contribution does an infant make in order to be saved? No, none at all. So don't hesitate to write me, email me, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of the Two Covenants. In fact, on tomorrow's Law and Gospel, I may want to say a few more things about that with Wes Reimnitz. And then we'll go to an insight on some matters that are occurring in the news as to how pastors are going to deal with them. I'm Tom Baker. Don't hesitate to email me asking for this or email me with any question, because we have Open Mic Friday coming up at Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.